This is Katie and Kay, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. It is 4 p.m. on a Thursday, and time again for Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, and today we are joined by the Roaring Fork Audubon Society. We have here Mary Harris, who is the president of the Roaring Fork Audubon Society. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Raleigh.
Great to see
you. Thank you for having us.
And we also have George Waller, who is perhaps the youngest member of the Roaring Fork Audubon Society. How are you, George?
I'm good, thanks.
And how old are you, George?
I'm 14.
14. Well, you're so welcome here at Katie and Kay and to be a part of this conversation all about the birds. So let's begin with a little introduction to Roaring Fork Audubon Society. Mary, would you like to tell us about this organization?
I would love to tell you about this, and I love to talk birds, but today we're going to do a brief outline of what your Roaring Fork Audubon does for you and our recent efforts in conservation work. So we are an all-volunteer organization. Our mission is to speak for our native animals that have no voice and certainly have no seat at the table when policymakers decide their fates. So we go about this in various ways. We have free nature walks to encourage folks to learn about our ecosystems, their critters, and the importance of protecting them. We are also helping several coalitions to fight off large developments. Just this year, we are conducting ongoing surveys at Sweetwater Lake, Spring Valley, Homestead Reservoir, West Mam Creek, the Crystal River Corridor, the Glacier Property, and Marolt, and probably more. We're also working on potential beaver reintroduction survey sites. And this is all very, very time-consuming, but necessary to get into these places to catalog what we stand to lose. Mm-hmm. Since birds are our most important indicators of ecosystem health, we like to say that if you save the birds, you save the biodiversity. And our hope is that someone in the decision-making realm listens and cares.
Yeah, so you named off a number of things. I most recently joined Roaring Fork Audubon Society doing a survey at Sweetwater, mm-hmm. but I've also previously joined you in the Crystal River Corridor mm-hmm. up McClure Pass and also Homestead mm-hmm. Reservoir.
That's right.
All really sensitive habitat areas where we mm-hmm. see different species of birds. I suppose one question that I have is, this seems like a long list of places that you're seeking to help protect. Has it always been that way in your experience with Roaring Fork Audubon, or does it seem like there's a lot right now?
It's increasing exponentially.
Okay.
Every time you turn around, there's a new huge development proposal or something like that. It can be huge or it can be as small as an impact from a bike trail. It all matters and it all affects the wildlife. Mm-hmm. In fact, what is happening is of all the ways we are causing bird population decline, the worst is from habitat loss due to development, fragmentation, and the ongoing climate change. Mm-hmm. The other threats are grave, but that's another topic. Mm. Here's an example of what's happening. The amount of natural land converted by human activities in Colorado increased by well over 500,000 acres in a 17-year span just between 2001 and 2017. That's about 10% of our state, Whoa. An area larger than Rocky Mountain National Park. This rate of land conversion was faster than the deforestation altering the Amazon region of Brazil, where the development there in recent years devoured about 2 football fields every 3 minutes. With our current push for development, we are now witnessing that number will increase well beyond those statistics. And our riparian wetland and their upland corridors are especially getting hit hard because the West Land contains only 2% of this habitat, and well over 90% of our animals require it. There's no wiggle room left, but we are still eating away at our cherished landscapes, and we are diminishing our bird populations bit by bit. Or, better said, Raleigh, death by a thousand cuts. We have lost at least one-third of our bird population in the last 60 years. That's around the same time Joni Mitchell made famous her protest song with the phrase, "You don't know what you've got until it's gone." Again, we are not being careful, and we are losing our native birds. And development and fragmentation of any type, especially in these riparian corridors, eliminates their nesting sites. Unfortunately, most decision makers do not understand that birds cannot just fly into another territory and nest. Birds are extremely territorial, and when a historical nesting site is lost, that's it. They will not reproduce that year, and they will have difficulty the next year. And we've seen when nature is taken off track like this, the consequences for human life are also epic. I don't think people quite get that. If we did, we wouldn't make the decisions we do. For instance, without our birds working 24/7, eating insects, propagating and pollinating, our forest and other habitats would not survive. Mm-hmm. You can ask me anything about the projects we work on. I also wanted to speak a little bit about the future of conservation, because I don't want to make it all doom and gloom. I want to try to inspire, yeah, especially our youth.
Well, I'd love to bring George into the conversation at this time, because as a young man, 14 years old, who's interested in being a naturalist, and we also have Amy Haddon Marsh joining us here in just a moment, who authored an article about the Aspen Glen bald eagles in this week's paper.
Oh, good.
But George, hearing all these statistics as a person interested in being a naturalist, what's your impression? Like, how do you feel about all of those things?
I do. It does make me sad, I guess. And but yeah, I definitely think there's lots of hope and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it make you feel more motivated to learn about these different species and to try and protect them?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's the appeal of hanging out with the Roaring Fork Audubon Society as their intern? What do you enjoy about it?
Mostly watching birds. And, yeah, that's the most fun.
Raleigh, if I could interject, mm-hmm. Our children these days are not being taught about the importance of biodiversity, if they even know what that word means, or they don't even are not learning about our plants and animals of the Roaring Fork Valley. George has had the opportunity to not just look at birds and identify them. He knows how they fit in to the particular habitats. He knows what they need, and he knows their importance. Mm-hmm. So, if you also would indulge me, I'd like to share a quote by a really wise, ahead-of-his-time man. He's from Sagal. His name is Baba Dayam. And this is a quote from a paper he wrote in 1968 that he presented, actually, to the General Assembly of the International Union for Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources. And here's the quote. "In the end, we will conserve only what we love. We will love only what we understand, and we will understand only what we are taught." And with that, that's the importance of people like George. He is the future. Mm-hmm. We also have a 9-year-old upcoming and a 13-year-old upcoming.
Oh, cool.
George is our first ever intern.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our greatest hopes for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Get Amy Marsh on the mic here. Thanks for joining us, Amy.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Hello, Mary. Hello, George.
Hello, Amy.
And you recently wrote a piece pertaining to local birds.
The bald eagles
mm-hmm. in Aspen Glen.
Mary knows about those. Mm-hmm. Does George, do you know about the bald eagles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. George participated in a scientific paper along with Deli and myself and a couple other Roaring Fork Audubon board members.
Great.
We surveyed over a year.
Wow. Okay.
In the winter, year round.
I didn't know George was a part of that.
Yeah,
that's
he was
great.
A big part of it too.
Excellent. Well, then you guys know all about that. The bald eagles. So I spoke with Delia. What's today? Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
I spoke
with
her Sunday mm-hmm. before she went out into the field. She's out standing in her field now. Very interesting what's happening with the eagles since the male was killed in June. The male parent was killed. What do you want to know, Raleigh?
Well, for our readers who aren't familiar, maybe you could just give us a little synopsis of... What's happened? How was that eagle killed?
Well, the eagle was hit by a car on Highway 82. And unfortunately, the police reports aren't very specific. And neither is the CPW report. I can try to get that again. But it was hit by a car. Some people say there was a carcass out there that the eagle was attracted to. Some people say... The eagle was carrying a rabbit and was just taking off. I don't know. Just
our,
know that
our witnesses said there was a carcass on mm-hmm. the side of the road that mm-hmm. hadn't been cleared.
Yeah. So he was hit and killed, or suffered injuries that were mm-hmm. life threatening.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in June, and that particular pair of eagles, the nesting pair. Apparently have been together for maybe 20 years.
Wow.
Long time. They mate for life, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Unless
they do.
One dies.
They do.
And so according to Delia, the remaining parent, the female, has had to get food for herself, get food for the babies, who aren't really babies anymore. At the time that... the male parent was killed. Apparently, the first fledgling was getting ready to take off, right? Jump out of the nest. So since then, they've been fledglings, but I guess that eagle fledglings hang out around the nest right after they fledge, and so the parents are still getting food for them, which means hunting and fishing. It's not like going to the grocery store, right? So the female parent had been getting food for her fledglings. She'd been defending her territory against other predators, corvids and other eagles. And that takes a whole lot of energy, I would imagine, So the fledglings are gone. And Delia said, I don't know, have you guys seen the fledglings around since?
They have been seen.
They have. Okay,
yeah,
so they survived.
Kind of up working the crystal. Mm-hmm. If they're the same ones, we have a couple other bald eagle nests, but I believe they're the same ones.
And I think the juicy tidbit here mm-hmm. is that there's a suitor.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And apparently, this male, the picture by Steve Harding. That's in the paper. Thank you, Steve, for giving us permission to use your photos, your excellent photos. That's a picture of the female and the male, and maybe Mary can tell them apart. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe George can. I can't. So there's a suitor, and apparently the female has sort of been rejecting his advances, but he's still hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
staking his claim.
Yeah. So maybe there will be, maybe there's some hope. But Delia says she thinks that the female's still in mourning
mm-hmm.
because she's been kind of dejected, doesn't have the same oomph that she usually has. And, but the suitor, they haven't been flying together. There haven't been any, apparently any bonding. What are the other bonding rituals, Mary? Do you know?
They will fly together. Okay. They will sometimes lock talons. It's spectacular to watch. Mm-hmm. You almost would think they were fighting, but they're foreplaying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I wouldn't expect that to be happening just yet. Mm-hmm. He'll have to prove himself. She's a highly experienced parent. That is her territory.
Yes.
She'll be careful who she picks as a mate.
Mm-hmm.
I would suspect he's not the only suitor, and there'd be no way to tell if it's the same one.
Okay.
So we plan to be on top of it next, starting in January.
Mm-hmm.
She, this year and last year, too, started sitting about the 17th of February.
Okay.
So they get to it pretty early.
Okay.
Does that area remain protected? Could you give us an update on
it
the
is,
status
It is, but it's
that
under
area?
Threat.
What?
Okay. Well,
I thought the commissioners...
They did, but the developers are back, and they want another survey for some reason.
Probably because they heard that the male died.
Well, that's one. No, it was even before that.
Okay.
They're not going to give up. You know how it is.
And so
they don't give up.
Right on the southern edge of Aspen Glen, right?
It's kind of
the river?
No, it's northeast.
Kind of, northeast.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Delia was saying, too, I mean, it's in the article. I keep saying Delia was saying, but that's my expert for this article.
She is the expert
she is.
On
She's amazing.
Everything.
Delia Malone, shout out to Delia Malone. Anyway, she said that now is more important than ever to continue to protect the buffer zone, you know, because there is no place else to go. And that's what was so shocking for me to hear.
Right.
And do you want to talk a little bit more about that, Mary, that why there isn't really any place else for this female to go?
There isn't. She's got her work cut out for her picking her next mate. She has her nest. So for her, and I had this in my notes, for her to take over another bird's territory, even our small little warblers, there's a picture on the cover of one of the birding magazines with two small warblers locked in battle. You know, we don't see it, but it's happening. We usually pay attention to the charismatic fights of
megafauna,
the bighorn sheep.
So
they get the attention, but even the little guys can be absolutely more ferocious in defending their territories. So when one leaves, you can't just move over to a new space. It's not going to happen. That bird will be protecting that territory. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we do have a couple of bald eagle nests in our valley now, fortunately. They are making a comeback after DDT.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to let her just take over their territory. It has to be the right tree in association with the river, and
Mary,
even more complicated.
Began our interview also with this statistic that the amount of natural land converted by human activities in Colorado increased by well over 500,000 acres in 17 years between 2001 and 2017, which is 10% of the state. So I think, unfortunately, where people like to be is also good habitat for all these diverse species.
Mm-hmm.
And we did want to weave in a little bit of talking about other projects like the Crystal
Could
River
I say
Trail.
Something just
to that?
Before you move into the trail?
Mm-hmm.
I find that covering various developments all over the county, there are some developers who seem not to understand that if you build in habitat, whether it's severe elk winter range, bald eagle, the animals just don't move away. It's like they don't just say, "Oh, okay, well, you know, this is taken. Let's go over there to that open space or whatever, that golf course. I don't know." And I think that's important to keep in mind,
right,
is that, you know, you take up habitat, you're actually risking the death of animals or, you know, creating endangered species or whatever.
Well, so, and once it's been established as habitat for so many generations and thousands of years, like, what we do can't be quickly reversed.
No.
No, there is no option. There's only X amount of habitat available.
Mm-hmm.
And so those birds and elk and different animals mm-hmm. that have mm-hmm. historically used an area just will not reproduce. Mm-hmm. And that's go. That. That's and it. That's Thank when you. Their numbers plummet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
it's really, it's kind of spooky to think about.
Yeah.
Right.
Think about that. And I think it's important for developers and local officials, people who approve developments, to really consider that mm-hmm. along with water concerns and everything else.
Yeah. Right. For example, the Spring Valley development. Mm-hmm. Talk about taking 1.5 million gallons a day of water out of the second most important wetland in our entire valley. Mm. It would dry up.
Mm-hmm. That's the second most important wetland in our valley?
It's not just taking the immediate footprint habitat. It's mm-hmm. taking all of the water away from...
Is that where we saw the sandhill cranes?
Yes. That's where the sandhill cranes are breeding. That's where the really important migratory stopover, yellow-headed blackbirds are breeding there, one of our few places left where they are found. Mm. We had willets and other shorebirds, white-faced ibis, mm. not breeding there, but using it mm-hmm. for feeding.
Wow.
So it's very important. George and I are going to go back there soon and see what's happening.
And we'll talk later.
With the fall birds.
Yeah, so important that you're doing these surveys. Mm-hmm. And the Soper Sun has covered these projects, the Crystal Trail last week, Sweetwater 2 weeks before, mm-hmm. and then just a quick announcement that deadline for public comments is August 5th, which is Monday.
What, for Sweetwater?
For the Sweetwater mm-hmm. proposal. And there will be another comment period later. But important for people who care about that or read the article, or if they want something to do over the weekend, they could look at that article and then inform themselves through other sources and make a comment.
Good idea.
And then also the Spring Valley project proposal, mm-hmm. which there's not a lot we can do about at this point, right? The public can't.
There has
they can join the coalition. Excuse me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mary.
Mm-hmm. No, they can join the Spring Valley Coalition and help those folks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they can just pay attention. I'm still figuring out how to enter this mm-hmm. this massive, massive project yeah. that really incorporates every issue that people and wildlife excuse me, are struggling with in the Roaring Fork Valley, from housing issues to water to wildlife habitat. It's
the story.
It's everything all wrapped in one.
Wow.
So, you know, but no, the public isn't, the Garfield County Commissioners, as far as I know, have not scheduled a public hearing, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, stay tuned in the Soper Sun.
Yes.
We do only have about 3 more minutes.
What?
I know, it goes fast. Is there anything you want to add, George, and then we'll pass it over to Mary?
Not that I can think of, not really.
Ready to fight the fight to conserve the birds?
Right, yes.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Thanks for being here, George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, thanks for doing everything you do, George. And he often gets out of classes to do it because he
there you go.
Submits such great scientific reports.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Yeah. Keep it up.
So George is, like I said, our huge ray of hope for the future.
Not Roy too much Fork, pressure, eh, George?
Yeah, I know. There's a couple others he can pass it along to, but not enough. We need more young people. That's why Roaring Fork Audubon is offering free scholarships. They're week-long or 6-day scholarships. Take place around the basin of Rocky Mountain National Park in different habitats.
Neat.
We pay for the whole thing. You have to be 12 or over, and you can go to our website and find that information. But
what's that website?
RoaringForkAudubon.org.
Thank you.
There's overwhelming evidence to show how being in nature and learning about nature, mm-hmm. not just buzzing through it, but right. actually learning about nature is so beneficial in so many ways to young people, to your brain development mm-hmm. and across-the-board skills, to your mental health.
And just to learn how to care about.
And that, too. And
if you know about caring. An area, you're more likely to care about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hence the quote. And
quote?
Oh, you missed the quote.
No, you were here for the quote. Senegal.
We're also looking for someone who has a background in ecology or conservation wants to live in this beautiful Roaring Fork Valley to become a Roaring Fork Audubon full-time intern. That would be more of somebody who aspires or already is an ecologist.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
Conservationist-minded person, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I highly recommend going to the Roaring Fork Audubon website, yes, and joining their newsletter and finding out about their bird walks where you can go out birding. And it's phenomenal, all the things we're unaware of that are around us the time. All the beautiful forms of life that exist.
Well, thanks, Mary. Thanks, George.
Yeah, and can I thank you, Amy? I know you're working on articles, and Raleigh for continuing to keep people informed about what's going on.
Absolutely. It's a two-way street. Yeah. We appreciate you, Mary.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, George.
Thanks, George.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Stay tuned for the regional roundup coming up next. But first, we got a little bit of Bird Note.
Bird Note, my favorite.